And our special guest, the very first of three, is the man at the Western Sydney Wanderers, namely Carl Robinson. Carl, welcome.
Hi, George. How are you doing?
While you and I were waiting to come on, as Josh was running all the controls, you and I were just touched on the incredible transfer window we've just seen close in the EPL and, of course, in Europe. And it was the transfer window that just kept on giving to the absolute last moment, wasn't it?
It does. Every transfer window, there's big drama with it, and it seems to be the best one. Obviously, clearly, this was the best one with Messi and Ronaldo both moving, which has very rarely happened. Messi never, Ronaldo once or twice, but many years ago. So when big names move, it has a knock-on effect, and the clubs below, the so-called lesser big clubs, fall into a little jigsaw, and that's certainly what happened.
Well, what's been the big win for you? Was it the affirmation of watching Chelsea accumulate some key pieces? Was it the fact that City did not get Harry Kane? Or was it a case that Manchester United did see the arrival of the one and only number seven? But will he wear the seven?
Yeah, well, listen, each of the four or five top clubs that you speak about there, start with Liverpool. Liverpool have not made any sign-ins, but what they've done is they've stuck by their players who've been successful over the last 2 years, and they've signed them to long-term contracts. And I think that's very important from the club. They know the Van Dijks, the Alissons, the Hendersons, the Robertsons. They know the culture. They know what it's like to win. I think it's a good core group of players. Manchester United have just pulled a rabbit out of a hat, signing Ronaldo. I think they used Man City as a sort of, what can you say?
Stalking without being horse.
Yeah, they did. I thought they were a bit naughty, and by all accounts, they were never in the mix. I think that frustrated Pep. Pep went after Harry Kane. Tottenham didn't want to do any business whatsoever, because we know what Daniel Levy's like. He's a very shrewd businessman and very firm. So Man City obviously will be disappointed, no doubt, as a fan, but they've got enough players anyway. They've got 50 million defenders sitting on their bench. They've got centre-forwards who don't play. Jesus, you know, Riyad Mahrez, they're not playing. So they're very, very well stacked. But Chelsea's the interesting one. You know, since Thomas Tuchel came in last year, exceptional coach, really, really talented, very organised, very structured, and knows how to get the best out of his team. You know, it's a little bit of a different dynamic rather than Frank Lampard. Frank Lampard went Mason Mount, Hudson-Odoi. He went Tammy Abraham. He tried to introduce all the English boys. Tuchel's gone in there now. Tammy's gone out. You know, Kurt Zouma's gone out. There's a number of boys, Callum Hudson-Odoi, they're talking about possibly going out at the last minute. They decided and changed their mind. So I think he's gone more experienced, because once you win the Champions League, and that's what they did last year, the expectation is next year to win the Champions League. And he probably looked at it and thought, we don't want to be a team that goes out in the quarterfinal stage. We want to be a team that challenges for the Premiership. So they're going to recruit and get stronger. And that's certainly what they did with the boys sell.
Carl, what have you learned from it? What do you draw from that sort of movement, those sorts of games, that sort of posturing, and that very select and smart a dealing that's done by those top clubs that you touched on?
Well, there's an art to it. And again, you know, the teams that we mentioned, they're all, you have a different philosophy and infrastructure. You know, some managers have a big say in the recruitment. Some clubs give the managers no say in the recruitment. You know, so it's dependent on the club. The big managers, the Guardiolas, the Klopps, the Tuchels, I think they have a real firm say in who they want to bring. Obviously, numbers talk. You talk about a financial fair play. So everyone's working in the realm of that. So you're unable to break the rules because it's not worth it. So you try and test the boundaries all you can. Unfortunately, sometimes you need to move, you know, to obtain. And that's what's happened with Chelsea. They've let Tammy Abraham go. They've let Kurt Zouma go. They've got 60-odd million, 70 million in the bank. And they've decided to go a different direction with the boy Saul. So, you know, it's a strategic plan. Obviously, everyone needs to be on the same page, because if not, it's the start of a disaster. Because if a manager wants a player, the club doesn't want to give him the player. It's the beginning of the end, no doubt. They need to be on the same page. But each club has their own philosophy of way of dealing with it. Some go young. Man United, they have a background. They signed Ibrahimovic. They signed Cavani. Now they've signed Ronaldo. They're not afraid to go and sign an old centre forward and try and get the maximum out of him, because Ronaldo, Cavani...
I still haven't recovered from Zlatan.
Well, listen, Zlatan played in Major League Soccer, and he was the best player in Major League Soccer at 38, scoring 25, 30 goals. He's gone back and he's been the best player or one of the best players with AC Milan, and he's still going strong. So, you know, age is just a number for certain players. I think Ronaldo's exactly the same. Man City won't go and sign a 35-year-old. And I was very surprised originally when they were linked to Ronaldo. What they will do is they will reward their stalwarts of who've been at the club for a number of years, the Vincent companies. Now it's the Fernandinhos, and they will reward them because they are club legends, David Silvers.
They give him a statue too. Now, we can't do statues in Australia, but we've got an exciting new era in football about to unveil itself. We have a brand new television partner that really is exciting us by the fact being able to put all the properties that belong to Football Australia and to the new APL, the Australian Professional Leagues, and it's saying, here you go, we're going to give you a chance to not only see the teams that matter, but to follow the players, and they're going to do it in a way that we haven't seen for quite some time. Are you excited by that?
I am, and I think it's paramount. You know, we know we're a growing league. I know that there's, you know, if you look back 20 years and people talk about the golden generation, because there's a lot of players that went abroad and were successful abroad, and they want to try and follow that. Well, as a country, a football country, and we know there's other sports over here in Australia. You know, I've been in North America where there's ice hockey, there's American football, there's NBA basketball, is NFL, you know, so you're competing with other sports. But what you need to do is make the best out of what you've got and actually show people on the platform what you're all about. Get to know players. You know, people don't know, all they see is a Saturday game and they see players for what they do on a pitch for 90 minutes. But there's some certainly really good characters. It's the same with managers. You know, managers are very shut off sometimes. They don't want to let you inside their mind, because they see they have to have this aura about them and they try and be tunnel vision. But the reality is the only way you're going to sell this game over here is if I let you in and I show you my methods, I show you the way I work, I show you my tactical approach, I show you when I'm mad, I show you how my management skills are. You know, so you have to be open with that. Yes, no one will agree. Not everyone will agree with it. But we're a growing league. We need to develop. We need to sell. We need to get players in through our academies. We need to get them into the first team and in the A-League. And we need to sell them. Because if we do that, then we won't lose as many youngsters as what we're losing.
Fantastic stuff. You've got some exciting new recruits. You went to Saudi Arabia and picked up a couple. One's on loan and one's here for a couple of years. Both very, very special players in their own right.
Yes, you know, part of my core recruitment was I was looking at Australians. You know, we are in a current COVID climate, pandemic, and the world is a strange place at the moment. You know, we had some foreign players last year that were dealing with some family issues. Family members weren't allowed to come and visit. They weren't allowed to go home because of the visas and the exemption. So, you know, who knows how long that's going to be. You know, hopefully, I think Gladys is doing a great job here in New South Wales and, you know, fully supportive of that. But hopefully the borders open soon when everyone's health, you know, and safety at bare minimum. But I looked at it and I thought, right, how can I make my recruitment pay off to the maximum? So I identified all the Australians that were playing abroad. You know, some of them don't want to come back. They've got no interest. Some of them were in certain different countries, as you call it. You mentioned Saudi Arabia. Haven't seen their family for a number of years, miss their family, would like to play in the A-League, see the plans and the infrastructure that now is in place here in the A-League and Australian football, and want to be part of that. Because as you get older as a player, you've got to start thinking about what you're going to do when you retire. Because too many players, just think about it, the half a season to go or the month before they decide to retire, and suddenly ex-players, too many of them, suddenly think, I can be a coach. But coaching is hard. It needs work. It's like any other living in the game. You need to put the hours in. You need to put the work in. You need to learn. You need to study. You need to review. And I say to all players, be prepared. When you turn 30, you know what you're going to do when you're finished. If you don't want to coach, that's fine. Go and be an analyst. But the boys on TV, they are specialists at what they do. They don't just wing it. It's a case of they need to study and learn. So I try and actually give them a guideline when they're a little bit older. And the two boys I got from Saudi Arabia were easy because I gave them my plan of what I want to do with this football club. We've got a fantastic infrastructure. Everyone knows we've got a great training facility. We've got a fantastic owner, a group of owners. Our chairman is very much invested in developing the youth and giving the young players the opportunity to play. What I tried to do is I tried to create or open pathways within the first team, but I also understand it's a business. We're in professional sports and I need to win. So you results have to be driven. Competitive.
Results driven.
I needed to bring in players that I know could help me win. And the two players from Saudi Arabia certainly have got a background of winning. They've got experience and they know what it's like to succeed and also be under pressure.
And one's a local. One's a Blacktown boy who knows the Western suburbs like very few people. Can you imagine?
Well, if you look at a number of the recruits I brought in, and I did this because, you know, I've been very lucky to be in Western Sydney for the last 9-10 months. And there is a special feel about the place. And until you're here and you actually speak to the locals and speak to the people and speak to the people, the supporters, because the supporters are the most important people in the football club, and Correct. The values, the core values that they have, they're very much the same. And they are hard work, fight till the end, roll your sleeves up, never say die attitude. No one believes in them. So my recruitment was, are there any players around that are from this area? I don't need to sell it to them how important this football club in this area and these supporters are. They understand. Rami Nazarene, Dimi Petratos, Terry Antonis, they understand what it's about. And you need them because professional sports isn't rosy all the time. You know, it is up and down, as we know, but there's nothing better than playing for your local team, believe me.
And you've brought yourself a pretty smart cookie from overseas. He played for Wellington last year. He has a real nose and an eye for goals. You know who I'm talking about? The Israeli.
Tom Ahmed, yes. Yeah. It was, you know, I knew about Tom when I first came over. When I first came over here to Newcastle. All right. Tom was at Brighton. He went to Real Mallorca and then he went to Charlton in the Championship on loan. And I knew he was looking at something different. I knew the manager at Charlton. I was at Newcastle. So he was looking at, obviously, I think when players are in Europe, they always look at Major League Soccer or they look at the A-League because of their lifestyle as well as the football. What I will say over here and in Major League Soccer, football's very much, very hard. You know, people don't realise how good the standard is until they come over. What they probably don't get as regular as French teams or Belgium teams or Spanish teams is the opportunity to go and play in Europe. So what I try and create here is an environment where it's a learning environment. My job is a teacher. I'm a coach. I'm also a man manager. I'm also a father. So I understand that the mental side of it is very important as well. When Tom was at Wellington last year, he showed his worth. He scored a number of goals. And at the end of the season, when his contract was up, he made it aware to me that he wanted to stay in the Sydney area. He liked, obviously, the lifestyle. Him and his family were very happy. And he ideally wanted to stay around if the opportunity arose. And when I spoke to him, super professional guy, understand, has got a tradition of being successful, knows what the profession is like. And we've certainly got a number of key young players that will certainly learn from players like Tom Ahmed.
Wow. How much disruption to the preparations for FFA Cup and early season? We're inside now the last month, are we not, before the season starts, last month and a half?
We are, but you won't hear me complain about the situation because I look at the news, 7 News every day, and I realise what's going on. You know, sometimes you've got to be grateful for what you have and understand it. Sure. So, yes, we're professional sports people and professional managers, but sometimes you've got to take a step back and think of the bigger picture. The bigger picture is that we're all on the same page. We're all healthy and safe, and we move in the right direction as a collective. So we are training with a limited group, you know, but that's nothing we can change about that, and we're not trying to. A number of the players are in lockdown areas, so we fully respect the rules, and they will stay there until things start opening up. What they have been given is individual programs. It's important I check in with them every couple of days for their mental well-being as well, because it's not nice not being part of a team when 15 of the team are together. But what it does as well, it allows me an opportunity to look at three or four younger players within the academy. You know, I work closely with Ian Crook, who's the academy manager, director, and he is forever talking about how good these young players are. And now I get a chance to look at them. And my history suggests I'm not afraid to throw young players in if I feel they're good enough. And I did it last year, and I'll continue to do it again this year.
Josh?
What's tantalizing for me, Carl, is the midfield. I mean, on paper, looks like, if not the best, one of the best midfields that the A-League's ever assembled. I mean, Stephen Ugarkovic and Terry Antonis, two of the smartest players in sort of build-up play. And then you got Dimi Petratos ahead of them, who in terms of his final ball statistically ranks up there with the very best players to have graced the competition in recent years. They're all Western Sydney boys. So on paper, you should be dominating these games.
That's why he's smiling.
Look, no pressure. And,
I got asked that the other day. They said, surely you've got the best midfield. And I said, listen, we are competitive in the midfield area. What I will say as well, with Terry and Stevie and Dimi, obviously all local boys, understand what the club is about, what the area is about. You know, all of their family, friends are supporters of the football club as well, which is important. But we've also got, you know, a fantastic young player in Keanu Backus, who played the most games for me in midfield, a terrific young player who I think will go to Europe one day and has the ability to do that. We've also got Jimmy Troisi, who can play in that floating, roaming role, depending on what we do tactically. So, yes, we were very strong in midfield, but so are other teams. You know, we weren't as strong as what we needed to be last year because we ended up outside the playoffs. We weren't able to try and win this thing. You know, we've got to set expectations, the expectations that our football club are. We don't want to finish sixth. We don't want to finish fifth. We want to try and win it. And if we set ourselves for that and we fall a little bit short, at least we've tried at our maximum with the best players possible to try and reach our main target. And that is our main target this year.
And you mentioned George, you mentioned the European interest in Keanu Backus, and there's always rumours about him. I won't ask you about him specifically, but how important is it for A-League clubs to start picking up transfer fees for their talents that they've developed? Because there's a big frustration among fans in the league, and I'm sure it extends to the clubs as well, that so many players end up leaving on frees or for pretty much pittance.
Yeah, well, listen, we could talk for an hour about the development side of football here in Australia because, you know, It's like your hand and your foot, isn't it? You've got to all be on the same page, all right? You've got to all work together. You know, we talk about these young players. Are they getting given a chance? And last year, I think a lot of managers gave the youth the chance, which was very important. You know, and that needs to continue. You know, you can't go away from that, all right? There are no rules in place at the moment that say you need a certain amount of young players. It is down to the manager's discretion. But unfortunately, what tends to happen with managers, especially new managers that go into jobs, is their first, you know, thought is to win. They think what is ready now. They are not thinking of development. They are not thinking about in a year's time, I might be able to get $500,000, $1 million for a player. They are thinking if I don't win in the first six games, I might be out of a job. Yeah. So that's the one factor. Also, the second factor is if players aren't playing in the A-League, you know, they need a platform to play. They can't play 10, 12 games, train two or three times a week. We are trying to create, we're a professional sport here. We're a professional environment. We need a second division. We need, whether it's an under 21 league, an under 23 league, these players need to play 30 games. They need to understand what it's like that when they do break into the A League, and if we're able to establish this platform. I know Graham Arnold is doing his utmost best to try and put these building blocks in place. If we put that in place and we all commit to it and we all understand that it's not about any individual, it's not about any coach, it's about these young players that get given the opportunity and the platform to, one, learn, the opportunity to play, coaches develop them, because coaches come and go, we all know that, and it's not about them, it's about the players. Then over time, it's not going to happen overnight, but over 3, 4, 5, 6 years, if we all stick to that plan, you'll get rewards, you'll get success. You won't get these young players wanting to go to Europe at 15, 16, 17, because the opportunities are there for them to play, whether it's in the second division, in the A-League, first team group, and it's regular minutes. Because for a fact, if you are a 15, 16, 17-year-old and you play first team football, all European clubs, you're on the radar. It's a fact that once they play, I had it in Vancouver, Alfonso Davis was 15 years of age when I threw him in, and people said to me, you're crazy, he's still at school, he's a boy. Six premiership teams within the first 6 months contacted me about what's this 15-year-old kid doing playing in Major League Soccer. So that is fact. And that's what we all need to do. We all need to embrace it. We all need to get together. It's not about any individual person. It's about the future of the youth here in Australia.
Well said. One of the things we do at FNR is showcase and promote the game at all the levels, whether it's the women's game, the men's game, the youth, and we're hopefully looking forward to promoting as much of the second division discussion as possible, because as you touched on, it's not good enough to play 10, 15 games and that's a season. As we've seen with young Marco Tilio last year, he got a chance to play senior football. And did he take advantage of it?
Well, yes, he certainly did. He was exceptional. And, you know, see, people have views on young players. And, you know, my firm view on young players is just because they don't get given a chance at one club does not mean they are not a good player. All right? Right. You might have, Sydney have got an exceptional team. They obviously are very strong. Yes, they lost in the final. Prior to that, they were the winners for the last 2 years. Their structure is probably more older orientated than youth development, younger orientated. So Marco wanted a chance. He went to Melbourne. You know, the first part of the season, he was a little bit frustrated, no doubt, because he wasn't getting regular minutes. But boy, did the kid show what he could do, especially in the last 10 games. And now, obviously, with the addition of Matthew Leckie, you know, they're stronger again. So he gets back to resetting start of the season. He has to fight for his place again. Young players learn when they're in and out the team, all right? But what's important is the man management side. So, you know, he's one example. There are a number of examples throughout the A-League. Just because players move doesn't mean the club doesn't like them. It's just a case of sometimes they get itchy feet as a young player. They want more minutes and they believe that sometimes they'll get more minutes at other clubs. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't.
Carl, let's make this a regular occurrence on FNR. We'd love to hear you. And more importantly, to showcase and support Western Sydney Wanderers as we support each and every club in the competition.
Whenever you need me, guys.
Thank you very much. Carl Robinson, Western Sydney Wanderers have a big season and he's picked some very shrewd cats to come and play for his team. Let's support them. Let's watch them. And both Josh and I will be very keen to see them progress. Josh, especially Carl, because he also has a refereeing background. And he gets very, very iffy when he hears those VAR calls not given as they should. Anyway, all the very
Wanderers
best.
Wanderers haven't been so lucky with VAR in recent years, Josh. But that's a topic for another day.
I wasn't going to say anything until he left us. Carl, thank you for joining us again and giving us your time.
Thanks, guys.